Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome to Going In Raw, the dirt sheet. It's the only place you're going to be going for your pro wrestling news, because we scour the internet and we find it all and we bring it here to Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it so that you get all the new Going In Raw content when it drops.
Yes.
Where else are we, Larson?
Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We revamped the entire Patreon beginning of June.
Yes.
If you haven't checked it out yet.
We have to revamp one more thing I have not included. Today, every Friday, the $5 and up per month Patreon pledges get access to the Patreon exclusive show, Going In Raw Non-News. So we don't put the good news, the important news, behind a paywall, but the stuff that doesn't matter, that is behind a paywall. All the Jeff Jarrett news that you need to hear about.
Well, they don't need to hear about any of it. It's Jeff Jarrett news.
It's exactly. Non-news.
Non-news.
But it is my favorite show of the week.
It is.
Because we have a blast doing it.
Yes. We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
Huge sale right now.
Massive sale site-wide on Pro Wrestling Tees.
You can get this one. You can get this one. We've got the Going In Raw logo around here somewhere.
That's over there. You can get this one. It's not in our store, though.
That's not even in our store, man.
That's what I just said. Anyways. 20% off, I think.
Using the code America.
America, site-wide. Check it out.
It's for the Independence Day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to be going on until tomorrow, I think. Or
till
Sunday.
Monday.
Till Monday.
Till
okay. 10th, Monday's the 10th. Yeah, that's right. Till like noon Central Time Monday.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a slow news week.
A little bit, but this first story is interesting. Steve, why don't you?
New Japan expansion. We went to the G1 special in USA.
We did.
In Long Beach last weekend. It was, by every metric that New Japan is measuring it by, a wild success.
Yeah, and I believe their CEO, Takaaki Kidani, said as much.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
In an interview with Tokyo Sports. I think it's the translation is courtesy of
Striga of Puro Resu Love.
Good job. You pronounce words better than I do.
Yeah, I think I got that right.
I think you did.
Yeah.
That was good. He said, quote, the U.S. shows were a huge success, and Kidani would like to try a touring style no later than March or April of next year, and also that the L.A. office will be opened within this year, 2017.
Wow.
And the LA Dojo will be open the beginning of 2018. So they're really ramping things up for their expansion, man, into the United States.
Yeah, both
exciting
nights,
stuff.
Both nights of the G1 were sellouts with over 2,300 fans in attendance. Kenny, in his promo there at the end, Kenny Omega at the end of night two, in his promo said, this year it's 2,000, next year it'll be 20,000.
Yeah,
that seems a bit ambitious, but you know, it's good to have big ambitions.
I feel like they could probably sell out a 10,000 seat.
I think 10,000 would be, yeah,
like the Long Beach arena was next door to the convention center. I think that I checked the capacity is about 13,000.
Okay, yeah, that'd be good.
You know, a cool place they could go, the Cow Palace in San Francisco.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I think that's just under 10,000.
Now, one of these things here, he said, listen to this. He said, a touring style not later than March/April, Larson. What do we know happens in the world of professional wrestling late March, early April?
Of course, WrestleMania.
I'm referring to, yes, correct, WrestleMania.
WrestleMania. Yes, so WrestleMania. You think New Japan will run a show WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans?
That's a big.
That would be a ballsy move.
That'd be a pretty ballsy move. They do seem to be very interested in the West Coast, though.
Yes.
And so it would not surprise me if maybe they ran a show WrestleMania weekend on the West Coast, not head-to-head with WrestleMania, obviously, but perhaps that Saturday, you know? I mean,
yeah,
out here on the West Coast, takeover's at 5. That's probably when the show would start. But you could always watch takeover after.
Yeah, you can watch it on demand on the network.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. I mean, you know, as we saw when we were in Orlando for WrestleMania last year, or this past year, rather, you know, it becomes a hotbed of wherever WrestleMania is, it becomes a hotbed of wrestling.
I won't say every independent promotion, but a lot of them,
yeah,
go to whatever city is hosting WrestleMania and put on shows. How many shows were there that weekend? Someone told us. I don't remember. Dozens.
God, I want to say it's either in the 40s or the 80s. I forget which one.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
It was in the a lot.
And it was all over the span of WrestleMania weekend, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, it was going back to, like, I think Thursday. Thursday, I think Wally Mania was Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
That sort
yeah,
of kicks
yeah.
off the festivities. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's great. I'm curious to know how Access viewed the ratings.
Yeah, I looked a bit, and as of about 3 o'clock Thursday, no news on the ratings for the Access broadcast Saturday
mm-hmm.
night
mm-hmm.
because that Saturday night show is blacked out on New Japan World.
Okay, okay.
At least for people in the States. I don't know if it was across the board or not.
Oh, okay, okay. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. So, yeah, Access and then, you know, the sub-interest, I would think, subsequent, you know, in the next couple or the days following the G1 special in terms of New Japan World subs, I would think that would play into it a little bit mm-hmm. as well in mm-hmm. terms of how much of a push they want to make or how successful they really think it is. But all signs indicate there's going to be they're really making a push. Dude, they've got the resources, they've got the talent.
Yeah, they do.
It's going to be very interesting, and they offer a product that is a distinct alternative to the WWE.
Yeah, it really is.
So it'll be really interesting to see how aggressive they get in their expansion.
Yeah, and I believe it was, I don't know, a couple months ago, maybe more than that, where New Japan was even talking then about forming a California-based U.S. subsidiary mm-hmm. In 2018.
Yeah.
So, granted, Kidani didn't mention whether the subsidiary would be based in California
mm-hmm.
or if even it would just be its own kind of sub-promotion here in the States or not.
Yeah.
But it definitely seems like we will be getting more New Japan wrestling here in the United States early next year.
That's great. We got to visit that L.A. dojo.
Yes.
Start taking some classes at the dojo.
We should become young lions. is what you're saying.
Man. Oh, man. I want to create us as young lions in 2K17.
No, we'll wait till 2K18.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll be our my career mode.
Yes.
Steven Larson is young lions.
Yes.
So we'll start out with just black trunks and black boots.
Oh, I love it. That's fantastic.
No elbow pads, no knee pads.
And the name will be, we'll figure out who it's going to be. Either be Young Lion Steve or Young Lion Larson. Maybe we can
start. No, it should be Young Lion Steven Larson.
You know, we can. No, what if we did this? What if we start up, like, I don't know how we're going to do this. What if we just started up two my career modes and see who can get there first?
Okay.
Or if there's different. I mean, they said that, you know, they're looking for more of a story option
mm-hmm.
with branching paths. Maybe we can just sort of take different paths. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
Anyways, I want to see.
Be
because, yeah, we'll see who gets there. Each episode, we'll have two matches.
Yeah.
And we'll advance the Steve story and the Larson story.
Young Lion Steve and Young Lion Larson story.
Exactly. I love it.
That could be interesting.
That could be great.
I'm curious if early next year, given the success of the Long Beach show, say, you know, for the near future, they stick to shows in California or on the West Coast. Whether they'll be looking into larger venues or thinking maybe, okay, we did so well in Long Beach in a major market, Los Angeles. But if they venture to San Diego,
yeah,
if they come up here to Sacramento,
yeah,
will they be as secure in knowing, okay, we can book. I mean, obviously, they're not going to book the Golden One Center.
Yeah.
But I could see them maybe trying to book the Memorial Auditorium. The
Memorial is what I was thinking,
which is a couple thousand, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like 4,000.
Oh, is that large?
I think it's up to that. Yeah,
okay.
I think it's that, yeah.
So that's the possibility.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
As mentioned, the Cow Palace in San Francisco, that'd be a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a building steeped in wrestling history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it really sounds like they have a great product on their hands. They've got some good minds,
yeah.
You know, behind the business, and they're taking very deliberate steps that feel well thought out. And so, you know, this is going to be a process, but it's kind of an exciting one.
Oh, it definitely is.
You know,
definitely is going to be fun seeing a product that we enjoy, with possibility that there'll be more shows like G1 specials mm-hmm. that we can go to.
Yeah,
not just us.
Just us.
Okay, just us.
Can they perform right there?
I don't think so. I wonder, though, if they're going to do a touring. I don't know. If they do a sub-promotion, I don't know how many. We had a discussion before about whether New Japan stars currently wrestling full-time in Japan would make the trip over to the States to wrestle here, or if it'll be or what exactly will be the makeup of the roster.
You know, I don't know. I suspect it would be, I mean, for now.
Or say twice a year, they do something like the G1 specials. Where they come over here, instead of doing two shows, they'll take 2 weeks and do the West Coast or something like that.
I would think that'd be, like, from what he's saying here, and granted, this is a translation, but it sounds like come March or April, they're going to do, let's say, a 10-date tour of the West Coast.
Yeah.
Something like that. Hit, you know, San Francisco, L.A., San Diego,
Portland, Seattle,
exactly.
Maybe Vegas. Like
Vegas, yeah.
Phoenix.
Yeah, stuff like that. So that wouldn't surprise me. I would be surprised if they had, if they were going to, they're probably going to wait and see, like you said, expanding size of venue, where they go to, and then after that, okay, let's see if an actual promotion here in the States would make sense and how we would go about doing
it. I would suspect on their first tour, they would probably stick to venues roughly the same size as Long Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe with the exception of another LA show. They
right,
feel
yeah.
confident saying, okay, we easily sold out 2,000 plus seats each night.
Yeah.
Let's look for a 5,000 seat place.
Right, exactly, yeah.
10,000 seat might be pushing maybe a little too ambitious, but a 5,000 seat, like the Palladium in Hollywood.
Because I think there were still on the secondary market, there were still some tickets available at around like the $100 mark, like not that huge.
And of then, a markup, yeah.
Yeah, so, but the buzz that this generated, I think, can only do wonders for the company.
Yeah.
Speaking of New Japan alumni, Adam Cole, baby! I mean, I know he's more of a Ring of Honor alumni, but he wrestled in New Japan a couple times.
Yeah, a few times.
And so we have an update on Mr. Adam Cole. And in fact, as we're shooting this today, I believe, on Thursday, it is Adam Cole's birthday.
Birthday.
So happy birthday, Adam Cole.
Yes.
Hopefully you're having a good one.
Yes.
He turns 28.
It's amazing he's still that young. He's been wrestling for a long time.
He's a baby.
Yeah. On this past Tuesday, the 4th of July edition of Cage Side Seats Rumor Roundup.
Usually good.
Yeah. They said, quote, there's renewed talk of ex-Ring of Honor talents Adam Cole,
baby,
Kyle O'Reilly, and War Machine
signing
with WWE soon and being assigned in NXT. That's all they said. Of course, Adam Cole has been a free agent since May 1st.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
So 2 months now.
Yeah.
Still zero word on him going to WWE or
He's
NXT.
He's keeping a very low profile.
He's been wrestling a little bit on the indies. He just had a match at Wrestle Circus.
Yeah, right,
not that long ago. He was in a tournament, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago. But by and large, yeah, he has not been wrestling a lot.
And I think the Wrestle Circus match was a mixed tag match.
Yeah, with his girlfriend, yeah.
Britt Baker.
So, yeah, he has been keeping a very low profile. So is Kyle O'Reilly for the most part. I think he wrestled at one of the more recent PWG shows.
He wrestled for a spell in Major Bazden's promotion, National Wrestling League.
Yeah, yeah.
He wrestled there for a spell.
Okay. And then War Machine are the IWGP heavyweight tag team champions right now.
That's interesting. So according to Dave Meltzer, according to Wrestling Observer last week, they're free agents currently. So, yeah, they'd have to drop those titles.
The G1 shows.
They just won them. Wait, did they?
They won them in Long Beach.
They won them in Long Beach.
But the G1 shows are starting on the 17th in Japan.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a huge string of both kind of like live events. And I think the first night of the G1 shows is going to be on New Japan World. So it's possible that at any point during that, they could drop him if they decide they want to go to WWE.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting because, I mean, if War Machine are... I don't know how long they've been free agents, but I'm imagining it's fairly recently. So I'm not sure what that window of leaving former Ring of Honor talents alone, A, if that extends to New Japan talents as well, B, how would it mean that? I would imagine... Excuse me. I would imagine that means War Machine, during their entire tag team championship run in New Japan, they've been free agents, you know. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's that sort of non-compete clause for being tag champs or to whatever their contracts are. I would guess not. I mean,
if they're free agents, they're probably wrestling on a appearance.
I would think so.
For
yeah.
New Japan.
Yeah, I would think so. So they're free to do what they want.
Yeah, I would think so.
Is the idea that we've
and I, well, didn't Meltzer say in last week's newsletter that it was up to them essentially?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're in the driver's seat, is what he said.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. So yeah, it sounds like there's going to be a new influx of talent. The NXT tag division really needs something.
Yeah.
Because there's not a, I mean, there's the Authors of Pain.
There's Heavy Machinery.
It's kind of interesting. Like, yeah, the Heavy Machinery, Authors of Pain, and War Machine. That's just Haas City right there.
I know. Well, TM61 should be coming back sometime soon.
Yeah. Boy, they're going to be Thorne, fishes out of water.
Kind of, yeah. Shane Thorne had knee surgery. I want to say it was months ago. It was late last year, I think.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think the recovery time was about 6 months.
Yeah, okay.
So they should be coming back pretty soon.
Yeah, they should be back soon.
But yeah, it would be interesting. Yeah, the NXT tag team division would be very top heavy.
Well, it would be. But let me ask you this: do you think to balance out those hosses, we might see to Dragon again?
You mean Free Dragon? One could hope. I mean, one half of them, spoiler alert, has already made their NXT debut.
Yeah.
So if Kyle O'Reilly were to come to NXT, it would only make sense.
Both members of...
For Re-Dragon to Dragon again.
To Dragon again.
In NXT.
Yeah. Because we're always interested in them Dragoning more.
Yeah. We want to see them Re-Dragon. Because we weren't content just to see them Dragon once. We need to see them Dragon again.
Please, please put in the comments, let us know that it's a Red Dragon.
Yes, please. But as far as Adam Cole, I would be shocked,
baby,
if he is not sitting ringside at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
So, odds time, okay? You told me, I thought that it was a lock last time that he would show up in the crowd. You just revealed to me, confirmed that you said you thought it would be 50-50.
Yeah.
So, what are the odds now, according to you, that Adam Cole, baby, will show up? 75%.
75% chance right now.
Wow.
I'm assuming we'll hear potentially rumblings of something. Granted, but, you know, like when Drew McIntyre re-signed with
that
WWE.
That was a shock.
We saw him the day before.
Yeah.
No, earlier that day.
At
a WCPW show.
Yeah.
And then later that night, he's in a suit ringside at NXT.
Yeah.
That was shocking.
That was
and
shocking.
We heard nothing about that.
I don't think anybody... Did anybody hear anything about Bobby Roode? Before he showed up in the audience? I don't remember either.
But he was off TNA for a while.
For a while, yeah.
So I think that was just, whether there was any rumors or not, it was just, it seemed like an inevitability that Bobby Roode would end up in WWE in some capacity.
Adam Cole's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Something going to be interesting. And, of course, Re-Dragon. Next.
Next.
So this is just a short story about protecting your shit. In this age of information that we live
in. Yeah, so Forbes today, Thursday, reported about kind of a, I guess you would call it, not necessarily a data leak, but more like it's security fail on WWE's part.
Yeah, so according to Bob Diachenko
from
security firm Cromtech, he told Forbes that he'd uncovered a huge...
This is a quote straight from the Forbes story.
Straight from the Forbes story. I'm not paraphrasing. Told Forbes he'd uncovered a huge unprotected WWE database containing information on more than 3 million users, noting it was open to anyone who knew the web address to search. I figured that'd be like WWE survey information of people.com /WWE Network.
He continued, or the article on Forbes continues, quote, the data, which also included home and email addresses, birth dates, as well as customers' children's age ranges and genders,
that's weird.
Were supplied, was sitting, that's a weird sentence.
It was sitting.
Oh, where supplied, sorry.
Were supplied. Oh, where supplied,
yeah,
okay.
Sorry. Was sitting on an Amazon Web Services, I can't read today, was sitting on an Amazon Web Services S3 server without username or password protection. That seems like a bad idea.
Username vmcmahon69.
Password 12345. Password no chance.
The WWE issued a statement about the leak saying, quote, although no credit card or password information was included and therefore not at risk, WWE is investigating a vulnerability of a database housed on Amazon Web Services, AWS, which has now been secured. WWE utilizes leading cybersecurity firms Smartronics and Praetorian to manage data infrastructure and cybersecurity and to conduct regular security audits on AWS. We are currently working with AWS. AWS, Smartronics, and Praetorian to ensure the ongoing security of our customer information. Why didn't they just hire Solomon Crow? He's a hacker. He's a hacker. He could have helped out, Larson.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Get the space cat. Get Sammy Callahan. Praetorian! Why have you forsaken me, Praetorian? Oh, man. Oh, I don't know why it's funny.
It is.
It's the end of the day, man.
Yeah, we get a little goofy towards the end of the day. When I saw, and this is speculation on my part, when I saw the information that was just sitting on this database on the internet, after we went to WrestleMania, I think it's.
Hey, Road Dog. Hey, Road Dog. Where do we keep all those names from the surveys?
Oh, it's on. Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, you didn't know. It's on my iMac. Oh, God.
Yeah, you alluded to what I was going to say. Every once in a while, WWE will send out surveys. Like after WrestleMania, they sent one out. If you're a network subscriber, they sent one out. And a lot of the stuff that's in this database are questions on those surveys.
Yeah.
So it seems like a survey information.
Yeah. So everybody's going to find out now that I really want more obscure NWA pay-per-views.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, man.
And that I want WrestleMania to come to Sacramento.
I want less clothing on my male wrestlers, please. Hey, Road Dog.
Oh, you didn't know?
Now you do. Oh, man. We got some questions that we've got
that
throughout the week.
That story ended up being more fun than I thought it was going
to
be.
I know, man. You were like, that's boring. I'm like, yeah, but people need to know. They need to know. U.S. Medical Praetorian. Oh, man, I feel like Triple H just made up those names. Oh, yeah, no, we're with the leading security firms, Prey, or John, and Smartronics.
Smartronics.
Oh, man, that was too much fun.
The 10 for the win intro, I had that little time machine. It was Timetronics.
Timetronics. Oh, man.
Anyways, questions.
Let's get to questions from Big Bo's man, number one fan, Jimmy Alpha. Like big Bose, like the audio equipment?
Yeah.
The headphones? Nice.
Yeah.
Mine are Bose. They're good. Yeah. He says, I was listening to an episode of Wrestling Observer Radio, and Alvarez was ranting about WWE writers being unable or unwilling to try and get faces over and instead focusing everything on getting heat, citing wrestlers jobbing in their hometown, almost every title being held by heels, and the fact that all the best performances are by heels right now. What are your opinions on this? He says he personally agrees with him.
Do you think the response to Reigns and to a slightly less degree Cena might have a part in them focusing so much on heels? They push Reigns as an old school babyface.
Yeah.
And everybody craps on it. And then they may think they're crapping on it because he's a babyface, but that's not necessarily the case. They're crapping on it because people feel like Reigns is being shoved on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
Because we've seen, like, Daniel Bryan, baby face.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
When he was at his peak. Mm-hmm. Baby face.
Yeah.
People loved him.
Yeah.
I don't... When's the last time we've had a baby face reach those kind of heights?
The number of times anybody has reached those heights...
even remotely close.
Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
In this last run. Yeah, no, you can't say, yeah, you can. That was a great heel to face turn.
No, it was.
And yeah. He knows what he's doing.
I know that.
But
I just wonder if the response to Reigns has said, made them, well, it could be one of two things. Like the response to Reigns, and they say, well, you know, maybe the audience now just isn't into baby faces. So let's just do a bunch of heels and kind of anti-heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the idea is they're going to make everybody heel so Reigns can beat everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know. Like
Finn Balor is a babyface.
Yeah.
And he's popular.
Yeah.
But he's not huge. Seth Rollins is probably he's easily a top babyface on Raw. And it's probably him or AJ as top babyface in the company right now.
Yeah, I feel like AJ is the top natural babyface. Because people, even when he was a heel, people would chant for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? Because he puts on the best matches.
Yep.
I mean, it was kind of the same thing. I mean, Seth Rollins was really, really good as a heel. But it was despite the fact that he put on the best matches,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's funny. I like that it says, you know, they're unwilling to try and get faces over instead of focusing everything on getting heat. Inciting the wrestlers jobbing their hometown. The WWE doesn't seem to focus on much of anything.
It's true, apart from popping ratings, essentially.
Right. And so, I don't know. It's more fun. It's more interesting to be a heel. But the faces, you know, you need interesting characters. That's the bottom line. You just need interesting characters.
Yeah, and they have not done a good job of building
up
interesting faces.
Roman Reigns is in the mold of an old school, you know, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, baby face. And that doesn't work these days. That just doesn't work.
No.
Like, you need a dude like, I don't know. I mean, like I say, Chris Jericho, who's actually a funny guy. You know, he's not like too cool for school. He's self-deprecating. And on top of that, they did it right with him. He was a mega heel. And he was so entertaining with Kevin Owens that once he became a face, and by virtue of the fact that Kevin Owens, the Festival of Friendship, was so well executed, and Kevin Owens played up the heel so well that his face turn was, the turn was a huge success. And then it's Chris Jericho. Everybody loves Chris Jericho.
Yep.
In terms of making a new one of those, I mean, we've seen what they've tried to do with Seth Rollins, and it works to a degree.
Yeah, but
people pop for him.
And we said this before, that Seth probably has the most crossover appeal of anybody on the roster right now.
Right. I mean,
I feel like it just takes, and we saw a little bit of it during his feud with Triple H right before WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
where it was intense and it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But everything before that was kind of lackluster. But anyways, I feel like Seth Rollins, if he just had one really good storyline with a really good opponent where there was something at stake, something concrete to go after,
mm-hmm.
give him a good 3-month program with somebody, with that being the case, and he could be huge. He could be absolutely huge.
Yeah. Here's the thing. But
they don't do that.
It's like nobody likes people who don't want to have fun. And I seem to think that, and if this is part of Alvarez's point, then I completely agree. I mean, I agree with the sentiment that, okay, I just thought about this. The most overface act in the company is the New Day.
Yeah.
They're huge.
Yeah.
Because they're, again, self-deprecating, not afraid to poke fun at themselves. They all have, like, massive amounts of charisma. They're an interesting group. They make things interesting. They make things cheeky. They make things, you know, they're a bit edgy, you know, with their innuendos and stuff. And too often, I think the WWE thinks that they think that faces are guys who are just cool. Hey, what's going on? We're cool. Well, like, the coolest thing that Roman Reigns ever did that we kind of marked out over, besides beating people up, which is still kind of a cool thing to do. If you're beating somebody up for the right reason, then that's a face thing.
Yeah.
You know? And that's okay. That's what we want from Roman Reigns, is him to, like, beat people up.
Yeah.
And for too long, he was just docile. Remember, like, what, didn't he have the title? Or no, he lost the title, and the next night he was, like, in the background.
Yeah.
You know? And Dean was, like, the guy. I don't know. I just feel like they don't, you know, even with Dean Ambrose, the guy who's supposed to be the lunatic fringe, he's supposed to be sort of the spiritual successor to Stone Cold in a way.
Yeah.
It's just, he's not an anti-authoritarian figure.
No, and Miz described him accurately as just wacky.
Yeah, exactly.
He's wacky now.
He's not like spitting in the face of authority or anything like that. He's just a mischief maker.
And when he kind of does, it's not as if there's any intensity behind it. It's just hey, look, I'm just being funny.
Right,
it's more
exactly.
Like he's a practical joker.
They just think that the faces should be too cool for school, but not have any edge to them.
Yeah, they need edge.
And then look at, they need edge.
They need edge because he did a lot of neat things.
And it's like, look at the New Day. It's like, how many conventions have they like just basically trampled on? And they're like the most over face act in the company, like truly over.
Yeah.
Face act in the company, and look at what they're doing for the tag division. If everybody, and I'm not saying everybody can have the charisma of the New Day, but look at them when they're like solo.
Yeah.
You know, they were just given like the normal run of the mill thing to do. It's like even Kofi, who was an amazing like athlete and could do amazing things in the ring, you know, they had him doing the Jamaican thing first, and then it was just normal guy who didn't really have any. You put them together with the New Day.
And it's brilliant.
And it's brilliant. They all have chemistry. They're all coming up with surreal, weird stuff. And it's great.
I wonder how much, too, how much license they're given to come up with their own material.
I mean, you saw,
I suspect a lot.
Yeah. I mean, Xavier Woods is probably like the best writer the WWE has. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, okay. So when Seth Rollins went to TakeOver, when he was sort of stalking Triple H, that kind of intensity.
That was good.
If he brought that, if they let him bring that in every feud he had, that'd be fantastic. But what is it? What do they let him do? Bray, you're not really a god. The people here in Phoenix, Arizona know you're not a god.
I know. That kind of thing. Have Seth go.
It's so boring.
Go and literally every. So often Bray has said something, and then no one calls him out on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's one thing to say for Bray to say I'm a god. Seth say no, you're not. Like literally call him out and then prove.
Yeah.
Not only to Bray but the entire W universe that Bray Wyatt is a fraud.
Yeah.
There's something concrete there they can work.
Call him out on the call him out on the teleporting thing or do I don't know handcuff him to the ring. I don't know. Show some intensity. Show some, like. And this isn't a knock on Seth. It's a knock on creative not giving his character any real motivation. Mm-hmm. And with motivation comes, or no real goals to have that motivation, that real like fire motivation. Like look at Stone Cold. He used to run rampant all over the arenas. Why isn't Dean Ambrose doing that?
He used to go out there, stun everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Faces. Why isn't Dean heels. Ambrose? I mean, Dean Ambrose, why aren't they doing that with him? Why isn't he the guy who's putting Baron Corbin under a forklift? I've beat that, point to the ground. Sense. Doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I think that they're focusing on, I don't know. Yeah. All the best performances are by heels right now, and they could be getting a lot of great face performances. Anyways, I mean, the fact that they can't figure out Bayley.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That should not be that hard.
It really shouldn't be that difficult. Anyways.
Iron Man Marcus Tyler, hey friendos, without breaking kayfabe, how'd The Undertaker unzombify himself to return as the American Badass?
Yeah, so what was the story? I wonder if they ever covered that in one of those comics.
He was buried alive, right?
He was buried alive. I know he was.
Or was it a casket match?
He was buried alive to come back from the American Badass as the dead, to return as the dead man.
Back as dead man.
Yeah, but I think he was, it might have been a casket match that killed him, or that made him an American Badass. Okay, so the Undertaker, the dead man, just walked out.
Yeah.
And then he came back.
So he, okay, I understand the question now. He doesn't want, by zombified, he means just dead man Undertaker.
So yeah, dead man walked out. He says, I'm not going to be in a casket match, Vince. So he left, but then he came back eventually as the American Badass.
That just sounds like he, on camera, kind of broke kayfabe.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah. The entire thing is an act until what if, like, so the entire thing from his debut until his American Badass character, it was all an act. American Badass was just him dropping the act, but then he actually did die when he was buried alive by Kane. I think it was against Kane. When he died as the American Badass, and then he actually came back and was zombified.
And was actually the dead man.
Was actually the dead man.
That's exactly. Pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
That's good.
I don't know if that answers your question, but Marcus, but that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, that sounds good. I agree with Steve. CM Punk finds it insulting.
I find it insulting.
When Daniel Bryan leaves WWE in a year, who should be SmackDown GM? CM Punk finds it insulting. Suggests Edge and Christian. They would be a good choice. Good choices.
Christian! You think you know me. Oh, we've been doing this too long.
Yes. Edge and Christian would be good choices.
Okay, let's give another one, though. Not Vicky Guerrero, not John Laurinaitis.
Nope. CM Punk.
Yes. Yes.
And then you can say, I find it insulting.
I find it insulting that I'm the general manager. I can still wrestle.
What about John Laurinaitis?
I just said no John Laurinaitis. Nobody's done it before. Michael Hayes. But he's just confused all the time. He wants everything to be in like House of Hardcore matches. Anyways, what about Jim Cornette?
What about Kane?
Kane? Like political Kane?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I want Jim Cornette. That'd be cool.
Okay.
Nah, probably wouldn't be cool. Vince Russo.
No.
Liam Wagner. Too sweet or not too sweet?
Not too.
Too sweet.
Not too sweet.
Do you think that the Titus brand could get so over that it could become a Nexus-type faction where lower mid-card talents would beat up main eventers? Also, who would be the first female competitor to join Titus Brand.
I kind of like how they're booking Titus Brand. I actually really like how they're booking Titus Brand, because at first it was kind of heel-ish.
Yeah, right.
And now it's definitely not.
No, it's not. And Akira Tozawa definitely could not be considered a mid-card talent within that division.
No.
Like, Titus went after a main event guy.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool. I think I would like to see... I like the idea of a faction, but I kind of prefer the way they're doing it, which is just he's like a managing company.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like that.
I do too.
Managers never really even made sense to me. Like factions, sometimes factions just didn't make any sense. I want a wide variety. I want him to pick and choose good talent, not just, hey, there's Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas hanging around doing nothing. I want them.
Yeah.
I want precision targeting great talents.
So in that vein, who is the first women's competitor to be part of Titus Brand?
You know what I think? I mean, it would have to happen really soon, but I would love to see Titus Brand sign their first champion, be Naomi. That's what I want to see. What about you?
That would be good.
You like Naomi?
And that way, Titus Brand would cross... Sorry, Titus Worldwide. Sorry.
Worldwide?
Would cross multiple brands.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it does now, but like all three of
the
major
brands.
Main roster brands.
Yes, I like that.
Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live.
They're making a star out of Naomi, dude. I like her a lot.
I do too.
She's good. The original mystery man, Carmine the Bowler. Master of None on Netflix mentions pro wrestling and drops... some WWE superstars' names in the dialogue. So there was an episode where he was on, I think, like a blind date or an arranged
date. Yeah, you told me about
this,
right?
And she mentioned Samoa Joe versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE title at SummerSlam. The question here by Carmine is, what are some of your favorite pro wrestling mentions in movies, TV, or pop culture? I liked Captain Insano and The Waterboy. Mainly because it made my dad really laugh.
There's a Run the Jewels song where they name drop Jake the Snake.
Oh, that's cool. That's good. I do kind of like when Bret Hart was on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Those are all very good answers.
Good answers. All good answers. Also, another question from Carmine the Bowler. The WWE style of production has been successful, but he misses old school booking.
Oh, wow.
Which one of Vince's commandments would you like no longer enforced? His choice is when the wrestlers are not allowed to look at the camera when being interviewed. Jinder Mahal, granted, not necessarily interviews, but promos, he looks into the camera.
I feel like they do that a little bit more these days. Yeah, Jinder does that. I feel like I've seen it a couple other times.
You know what kind of bugs me? The whole sports entertainment pro wrestling thing. Just call it pro wrestling.
No, I know.
That bugs me.
Yeah, I know.
Sports entertainers. No, just call them pro wrestlers.
I know. I know. People like... I'm going to say this statement. In their entertainment, I think, people like some degree of honesty. And pro wrestling, the knock on it that it's fake... has been such a staple of pro wrestling for such a long time. I think it would benefit from just, hey, this is pro wrestling. You know, it's okay that it's pro wrestling.
Yes.
New Japan pro wrestling.
I know.
Pro wrestling is okay. You don't have to be a sports entertainer.
I'm surprised they didn't change the name to World Sports Entertainment.
I know.
As opposed to World Wrestling Entertainment.
No, I know. You know. I'm trying to think of some of Vince's other, you know, things that he does.
Like he can't call the championship this.
Oh, that's annoying.
Which one is it? Can't call it the belt?
Can't call it a belt. It's a title, not a belt.
That's stupid.
And then what did he get mad at Braun for? Saying title shot as opposed to title opportunity or some crap like that? Why is Braun Strowman going to use the word opportunity instead of shot? I don't know. I want him to bring back guns, too.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Like in-storyline guns. Oh, I put the batteries in wrong. It doesn't flash anymore.
Taking too much time playing with that. Read the next question.
Pablo Splinter. Been a Patreon for a few months, but this is my first question. First, keep up the great content.
Thank you.
He listens to us at work on the night shift. Ooh. Scary. His question is, who on either shows do you think are the least likely faces and the least likely heels? He says he would have to say Sammy and Bayley are the least likely heels, and Joe is probably the least likely face. Spoiler alert for you. Joe is actually a face at this point. Yeah, the face is the guy who tracks down the big face, monster guy.
The face is usually the guy who's looking for the fight.
Exactly, yeah. Which is a recent development. I mean, that basically happened in the span of one. That happened when Joe became the number one contender. And when he choked out Paul Heyman. He became a face. I thought there was something else
that's kind of a heel move, too.
Yeah, no, it is a heel move. But Paul Heyman's like in character, a sack of crap. So it's okay. That's what we want to see from Roman.
Yeah.
But he did something else. Who did he confronted somebody, I thought. But I don't think it was Brock. I don't know. I'm tripping right now.
He confronted Roman on an episode of Raw.
Yes, that's right. No, it was that.
Yeah.
And that was a face turn right there. That was like a very subtle, weird face turn. It was good stuff.
It was good.
But he's still just Joe.
I know.
He's still Joe.
Yeah, Joe can easily transcend the face heel spectrum easily. He can just be sure. Joe.
People want to pop for him.
Bayley. A heel Bayley, that would be tough.
That would be very tough.
Sort of like I feel like a face Miz at this point. Now, I'm not saying because the crowd will appreciate his work and cheer for him, but the Miz did have a face turn at one point, and it was awful.
Yeah, no good. He needs to stay. Miz
still has to be Miz.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sami Zayn, yeah, I like him as face.
I do, but I like my idea of heel Sami Zayn where he picks apart everybody's matches and criticizes
them. No, I like that
them.
Too. I like that too. Kind of just like dick yeah. Sami Zayn. Yeah, yeah, I like that too.
I think he can do that pretty easily.
Herney Fernie says, if you guys had to remake the Warriors using any wrestling factions, old and new, which faction would be in the Warriors role? Who frames them? Which faction leader gets shot? Where does it take place, and what factions do they have to face off? Man, Herney Fernie's a huge Warriors
fan. Yeah, it seems like.
Have you actually even seen the Warriors movie?
No, I haven't seen the whole thing before.
I don't think I've seen more than bits and pieces of it. I know the part where that guy says, "Can you dig it?" And obviously that role will have to go to Booker T. What faction would be the Warriors? I'm going to say.
Bullet Club. Yeah,
there you go. Bullet Club. And then you got to throw the Nexus in there at some point.
Yeah.
And then you got to throw Suzuki-gun in there.
Oh, yeah. And Chaos.
You got to throw Chaos in there. And, of course...
DX has to be in there.
And Taguchi Japan has to be in there.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
LIJ has to be in there.
Oh, wow.
The Freebirds have to be in there. Evolution has to be in there.
Right to Censor has to be in there.
Definitely Right to Censor. What was the one? The Union?
They have yeah,
to be
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
The Union has to be in there.
The Ministry.
The Ministry. Sorry, we touched feet.
That's okay.
Video questions.
Yes.
First out, at the $20 Patreon mark, you can be a video question on our show. Jordan Carter is...
First video question.
First video question.
Let's see what Jordan has to say.
Hey, friendos. So unfortunately, due to injuries, we'll never see Daniel Bryan versus Shibata. So, in an alternate universe, if we ever got a dream match between those two, who would win? Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Jordan.
So who would win in a dream match between Daniel Bryan and Shibata?
Daniel Bryan would win.
Daniel Bryan. Why do you say that? You're suddenly the Gato of New Japan. They have given you the book. Gato has said,
now let me ask you this.
I trust you with
let
the
me
book.
Ask you this is of course assuming Shibata never got injured.
Yeah, of course.
And this is assuming Daniel Bryan is recently all free good. Of WWE contract, Daniel yeah. Bryan. Oh, then it's no question. It's Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan goes over.
Yeah, for sure. It's good.
Now, if this is 2006,
yeah.
2008, then that's a different conversation, maybe.
I have no idea.
But assuming Shibata never got hurt and Daniel Bryan is now a free agent, yeah. Daniel Bryan.
Be an amazing match.
It would be.
Yeah. Another video question from Cameron Villasenor, or maybe it's Villasenor. I'm not sure. In any event, let's see what Cameron has to say.
Hey, friendos. Hope you guys are having a good day. So the other day I was going over some of your guys' older content, trying to watch some of the old 10 for wins, you know, reminisce, some nostalgia, whatever. And I came across two of your short films that I had completely forgotten about, The Stickler and My Tentative Year. And watching them now, it gave off a very very reminiscent vibe of when I saw the movie Primer. And I don't know if you guys were trying to replicate that or if you'd even seen the movie at all. All I'd like to know is if you guys were seeing it and if it inspired you in any way to try to replicate it at all. And another short, quick question, if I can get it in. What would you guys think of a Dean Ambrose heel turn on SmackDown, particularly? I don't like Raw anymore. It makes me sad, kind of the... He rose to the top and then it's kind of fallen again. Coming from things like CZW and being the WWE champion after that. And I've been a huge fan of his, solely for the his long ride. And to see him where he is now kind of disappoints me. So, hope you guys answer the question. You guys have a nice day. Long time fan, I'll still be here. All right, bye.
Thank you, Cameron.
Thank you, Cameron.
He's very very complimentary of your short films.
Tickled by my short films. Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and that's all, Steve. I really had nothing to do with any of those.
You were in one of them.
Briefly.
Yeah.
But from the creative aspect, I didn't really have anything to do with them.
Correct. Yeah, I love Primer. It's
great. Yeah, Primer's great.
Yeah, Primer's a great movie. And yeah, maybe there was a little bit of inspiration there. What did you think of Upstream Color?
I actually never finished it.
Really?
Yeah.
Primer is the kind of movie where I can watch and I don't really need to get on Wikipedia to figure out what just happened. Upstream Color, I totally did. And I'm not huge on movies like that, although it was an intriguing movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ballsy movie.
Yeah, I gathered that from the half hour I saw. And it wasn't a situation where I started watching it, didn't like it, and turned it off. It was a situation where I started watching it, had something else to do, and just never got back to it.
Yeah. You weren't a huge fan of Another Earth, were you?
I had qualms about it, but I don't remember what they were.
I really dug
it. I know, you really liked that
one. I really dug that movie. That was a good sort of sci-fi movie.
I think my primary thing is, like, if there's another Earth that close to this Earth, it would really mess up things going on our Earth.
Something would be going wrong.
Yeah.
I know.
You don't have that large of a planetary body and not have some gravity affecting things here on this planet.
Yeah, you gotta throw some of the... It was a character piece. It was a character piece.
Still kind
piece.
Of a huge thing, though.
It was a character piece. There were some cool moments. Did you ever see, what was the other one? Was it called Cohesion?
No, I never saw it.
It was one where they're all, have you heard about it? When they're like in a neighborhood and then there's like a split in the space-time continuum. And so they go from like their house to like another version of their house. And it was a really awesome premise. Really well executed. Besides the fact that none of the characters were likable. And I'm not talking about who had a beef with Breaking Bad. You didn't like any of the characters?
No, I've never seen Breaking Bad.
Okay, who do I know? Oh, I think it was maybe, God, who was it? I forget who it was. Anyway, somebody was saying, oh, Ulysses was saying that he couldn't get into Breaking Bad because he couldn't find any character to like. I think Big Jim said the same thing. It wasn't like that. These were all the most annoying people. They're all like actorly people, you know? It's like a bunch of actors and you can tell they're acting. Because it was like shot on video cameras. No lights or anything. Anyways, he also talks about a Dean Ambrose heel turn.
Yeah, it's necessary at this point.
It has to happen. It really has to happen. Do you think Dean's past the point of, like, Randy Orton? Randy can't really be a heel because nobody's going to boo Randy.
Yeah, no, we saw that when he burned a house down.
Yeah, exactly. Dean might be past that point, man.
He'd have to do some really dastardly stuff.
Yeah.
Really dastardly. He just couldn't come out and cheat.
Right.
Now,
right.
People think, oh, it's just him being crazy. Whack, Dean.
Wacky Dean.
He'd have to do some messed up stuff.
Yeah. He'd have to, like, remember when, who was it that, like, took Edge and was going to, like, destroy him? Was that Punk? Who was that?
It'd have to be a situation. We're doing WrestleMania 25 for our Going in Raw View episode mm-hmm. this week. He'd have to do like what Randy Orton did to the McMahon family.
Yeah.
Start punting everybody.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Man, I'm totally drawing a blank because it's the end of the day.
Yep.
Anyways, that was our last video question. Dean heel turn. Good.
Yes.
Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Let us know what security system you use for your Amazon server 3 million survey thing. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.